Welcome to Truth or Dare with Chris Christian, a podcast that reveals the truth behind entrepreneurship and explores practical strategies on how to sustain in business. This is our first episode of Truth or Dare, and I am so excited because there is never a better time than the present, right? Today is National Podcast Day, and I thought that it would be fitting to roll out my first podcast on today's. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm super excited. This has been a long time coming. There's so much I want to unpack and explore in these series of episodes. But first, for those who may not be familiar with me, I do want to share a little bit of background about myself as an entrepreneur. I've been in business for 8 years. It's actually my 8th anniversary yesterday. And so this is really full circle moment for me because when I started out, I wish that I would have had someone to tell me some of the real secrets and truths about entrepreneurship. I definitely thought that being an entrepreneur was something way sexier than it actually is. And I fell in love with the idea of entrepreneurship. I was 23 with a money tree. I definitely looked and perceived entrepreneurship through rose-colored glasses. I really thought that the lifestyle was one that is super flexible and, you know, you get to go everywhere you want. You get to be your own boss. You get to do all the things, right? And quickly did I find out that it was actually the opposite. You are your own boss, but your true boss is your clients and your customers. And so I saw myself being in this really hard reality that was unexpected. And I want to make sure that I'm being transparent as possible. I know, especially on Instagram, we are in this culture of everyone being an entrepreneur and encouraging others to take the big leap. And that is really great. That messaging is great. But I do think that a lot of entrepreneurs on social media especially do not tell all of the truths. Some of them are not full-time entrepreneurs, not to say that there's anything wrong with that, but it's way different when you have a major company backing you, and I call them your investor, which I encourage you to keep and maintain as long as possible before you take that big leap. And the second thing is, I think that, you know, we are misperceiving entrepreneurship and the hard work that it takes to sustain in business. It is extremely hard. I don't want to discourage anyone, but I do want to shed some light on the internal operations and, you know, some advice and just things that it really takes outside of the branding and the marketing, the beautiful website to run and sustain a business. Background about me, I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I didn't quite know that it was called entrepreneurship, but I knew that I wanted to be free to express my creativity in various ways. I've always been a creative, multi-passionate, multifaceted. Ever since I was a small kid, I would dream up ideas and really make them come to life, whether that be a fashion show or an idea for a new student organization at my school, all of these different things that I would produce. And looking back on it, I've been an executive producer since I was 5. But I didn't know that that's what it was. But I was always good at bringing talent together under one collective mission and seeing it through. That is definitely a gift of mine. I discovered entrepreneurship through a business competition in an organization I was a part of in high school called the Memphis Challenge. And my junior year of high school, I had the opportunity to pitch an idea with a group of students. Our idea was for a restaurant in downtown Memphis, and we won. And they put us on the front cover of the commercial appeal. We really thought we were doing it. And I was like, yes, I am down. But the path of entrepreneurship was never really clear. One of my really close family friends, Jane Jones and George Jones. They were our next door neighbors and they were entrepreneurs, and seeing them own a franchise of McDonald's in Memphis definitely gave me the physical presence of entrepreneurship and seeing the hard work that it took. But I was up for the challenge. And so I didn't know what that looked like in terms of college and a trajectory of in business, but I did know that I needed to go to the best school of business possible, preferably an HBCU, to be able to get transferable skills and to learn the foundation of business. And so I chose the HU, Howard University School of Business, and I just enthralled myself in all of the organizations and the business orgs that were available to me. So I became a team leader, very active on campus, was a resident assistant. I actually won Team Leader of the Year. Whoop, whoop. I also came across and fell into investment banking at Howard. We were in rooms that we would have never, well, I know that I would have never discovered if I wasn't in the School of Business. Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, UBS. I mean, I went to London with my honors program. And so I just saw this sexy industry that I never had heard of before, but everyone was saying, hey, these people make a lot of money. You're going to learn a lot and you can gain transferable skills that you can apply anywhere. And so I said, sign me up, because I didn't want to completely go into entrepreneurship first. I knew that I needed to learn some skills and to prepare me. But at the same time, I actually started my first business on campus. And anyone that is in college, please, if you do not know, it is the best time to start a business and to dibble and dab in business, because you have a body of consumers right there at your fingertips. And so I fell across this idea. I've always been like a fashionista, I guess. I came across these buttons in my grandmother's drawer. I used to live at my grandmother's house in Washington, D.C. I saw these buttons. I said, hey, I can transfer these buttons into jewelry. And so I started doing that. I called it Couture by Kristen. E-commerce was very, very new at the time. I put them on Facebook and people actually started to buy them, and I would make them and customize them and deliver them on campus. I kept Couture by Kristen throughout my experience in banking. And so junior year of college, I had an internship at Lehman Brothers. And I got a full-time offer to join Lehman Brothers. So I was extremely excited, right? I think I got my offer letter in August of 2008. Anyone that knows, that was the time of the financial crash. I literally got my offer letter to Lehman Brothers and I looked up, and on the news, Lehman Brothers had gone bankrupt.
Our other big story we're following tonight. This has truly been a manic Monday on Wall Street. There's the bankruptcy of Lehman Brothers, the sale of Merrill Lynch to Bank of America, and word of trouble with the world's largest insurance company, American International Group. The stock market suffered one of its worst days in years.
Everyone knew that the company was pretty much gone, done, finito. I was concerned. The stability of this industry, this financial industry that we all trusted and knew that, you know, bankers make bread, bankers make bonuses. And to know that the company that I had worked for and grown to love, by the way, was a great company, was ending and was going bankrupt. Luckily for me, Barclays Capital, which was actually the company that I went on that honors program trip on to London a few years before, so I was familiar with the company, they bought Lehman Brothers. And so my new job was no longer at this, you know, kind of Midwest bank. It was this Euro culture, European culture that I was not as familiar with and honestly not as comfortable in. And so I had Couture by Kristen. I was working investment banking. It was extremely hard. And it wasn't that it was something that was hard. I think it was more of just the work ethic that it took to maintain that level of excellence was the complete most. And so I was like, man, if I'm working like this for another company, I definitely can do this for myself. Simultaneously, I
saw that, you know, Couture by Kristen was a little bit too much for me at the time to be making jewelry and selling it. But I did realize all of the intricate details that it took to produce a marketing campaign. It took a web designer. It took a graphic designer. It took a web developer. It took a videographer. It took a video editor. It took all of these people just to produce one campaign for Couture by Kristen. And I was like, this is a nightmare. This could be a nightmare for other small businesses like myself. And so I thought up the idea of Fame Enterprises, which is my company today, a full service creative agency for small businesses. Now we definitely have expanded beyond small businesses and more into integrated marketing campaigns for large consumer brands. And we still do some small business work here and there. At the time, the problem was that we had no full service marketing, and marketing, especially within the African American business demographic, that was pristine, that was, you know, this $1 million product, which I learned from seeing all the presentations on Wall Street. I knew what it took to put together a beautiful deck. Thanks to my mentor at the time, Thomas Davenport. Big shout out to Thomas. Thomas was an early mentor of mine that really whipped me into shape, honey. Because his name was on the line. He whipped me into shape because he would not allow anything less than perfection. So dotting my I's, crossing my T's, if there was not a period at the end of the sentence, he would make me print the entire deck over and redo it, period. And we would go through these strenuous hours every single week until the deck was perfect. And my attention to detail, that skill developed in banking. And I would say if there's anyone out there that wants to get one thing from what I'm saying in my background and the reason why I think that I've been able to become as successful at a young age is because my attention to detail, and not perfect, but I'm extremely focused on the quality of the work I produce. And I'll talk about this later on in the show. I attribute that to Thomas. So thank you, Thomas, for that. Back to the story. I found this problem in small business branding and marketing and wanted to solve it. And so I started Fame Production Group. We got a DBA. Now it's Fame Enterprises because we have different entities under Fame. But it was Fame Production Group. And I started with my friends. So I had a few friends at the time who were launching new businesses. One, Marcus Noel, who full circle moment is still a client to this day. We're currently developing his new product, which I'm super excited for, Icon. And Marcus invited me to produce his first launch event for Heart of Man. I produced it from scratch, developed all the marketing, branding, website for it. And I did this for him, showed it to other people. They were interested in my services. And before I knew it, I looked up and I had four or five clients paying $250 a month. And I thought that this was enough to sustain my business. At the time, I decided to quit my job to start Fame with these little bit clients and this little bit of money. But eventually it did grow. But I started Fame and I went on to work with clients to build their brands. I think one of our biggest brands that we've been able to build from the ground up has been Mayel Organics with Monique Rodriguez, the Vanity Group with Carlene Roy. And we've worked with a number of clients, BT, Bumble, Forbes, 8. I am just so grateful for being able to stay in the game, first of all. There's been a lot of really, really hard times. I can't lie, you guys. Just really hard. But what has kept me is it in my capabilities. It's not in who I know. It is purely through the grace of God that I've been able to stay here. And I've known it because it's been those times where you know, he did it once and you're like, if he did it, then he gonna do it again. He gonna do it again. He gonna keep on doing it. And that is literally what he's done. And so I give all the glory, all the honor, all the thanks to God for keeping me, because I don't know what I would do mentally just being able to stabilize my mindset through really hard times, whether that be financially, whether that be through the team, growing business and partnership development, it's being able to bootstrap all of this. I have, I would say, what, 5 businesses right now? Fame, Made Magazine, Chicago French Press, Made, Maven, I guess that's 4. People don't understand, yes, I'm multi-passionate and all of these entities work together in tandem. I've been able to design it that way, but it is completely based on the cyclicalities of business and the seasons and cycles of business. So when I'm focused on Chicago French Press, it is a high season for Chicago French Press, Made Magazine, and there are influxes, peaks and valleys in business. And I have to have all these companies. And luckily, I've been able to form teams around each entity so that they can grow and sustain. And I'm still constantly working to perfect that. And so Fame has been an extreme gem for my businesses. It is our bread and butter. This is the agency, brings in lots of work. I can definitely say at this point we've made over $1 million in business. I would hope so after 8 years. Not to downplay it, but I have made $1 million. I have also gone through $1 million. And so on this podcast, I want to be extremely transparent with money. I want to talk about what you actually need and what your finances should be looking like. So I'll be bringing on experts, professionals, fellow entrepreneurs to tell us the truth about what entrepreneur looks like, how to prepare, and talk about these 3 things, my mantra that I live by, which is to dream, to dare, and to do. These pillars, the mindset, which is dreaming, having the positive mindset, keeping that focus, maintaining your sanity, this has been extremely important. Daring to try and put yourself in these positions to win and having the confidence to move forward and doing, which is to actually take the action to leap with caution, of course, but to leap, to not wait and to not procrastinate. We will explore all of these things and I will share some internal stories and we'll talk about these things with our interviewees as well. What can you learn from this podcast? What can you expect? You can expect real advice from real entrepreneurs. I do not care about the followings of the entrepreneurs. This is not a marketing promotional thing for any of my businesses. We're doing well right now. Honestly, I'm doing this as a labor of love because I wish that I had someone to tell me the truth and also tell me, what were you doing that I need to be doing? What were you daring to do that I haven't thought about doing? How are you being resourceful? What does it take? All of these things that we need to be real about. And I'm so excited to do this. I really hope the audience can take away some actionable steps, some tips, some hacks, and glean some insights from our stories, from my story, that you can apply to your own journey. I am so excited, you guys. We have some awesome people that are coming on our show. And I just know that this is the beginning of something really, really, really great. Stay tuned to Truth or Dare with Chris Christian. We will be doing this podcast in multiple locations. So right now I'm in Chicago. We have visited DC. We'll be visiting New York, LA. And so I'm really hoping that this grows with me and I can be of service. So stay tuned. Love y'all.